the spiritual discipline of watchfulness for the leader and the church on its teaching and the purity and fidelity of the gospel is massive. We persist in this because you save yourself and all those listening as well.
Listeners, and welcome back to the show today. My name is Shannon, and I'm in the studio with Pastor Robbie. Today, we are starting a brand new series in the book of Deuteronomy. If this is a book you're unfamiliar with, you will find it pretty close to the front of your Bible. It's actually the fifth book there, and we are going to be learning from the final words of Moses. Hey, Robbie, can you give us some context here? We all know about Moses and the burning bush and Moses and the plagues, and this series comes after that, correct?
Yeah, so this is the farewell speech of Moses to the people of Israel. He has been told he will not go to the promised land, but he is to prepare the people as they, this new generation, is going to enter into the promised land. So the words that he chooses, you could say, are his famous last words, are very especially chosen to see the people not make the same mistakes they have witnessed in the generation before. So we're starting off today, Shannon, again, I love this content in Deuteronomy. I love this theme even today of watchfulness, like to be aware and mindful and self-aware and to understand the dangers that lurk. Like these are such important words for us as people then and people today to be so aware of as sin lurks, as Satan attacks, as our selfishness and sin tries to get us and keep us away from the things of the Lord. So you know that Moses is filled with passion and urgency, and he means every word that he is speaking. He is so sincere and dedicated as a choice servant of God, and he's begging the people, listen, do not make these mistakes. Watch, serve the Lord, love the Lord, listen to him. He goes on and on. So again, this is what's coming, and I think, Shan, a lot of our people listening maybe not have a strong context of Deuteronomy. I'm praying this series will change that, and they'll be super excited and encouraged by all that's here in the amazing, inspired, inerrant, and Word of God.
Oh, that's totally right, Robbie. And it's amazing to go back and read these Old Testament stories in the Word of God and how it's so applicable for us now. So if you want to dig in with me, you can open your Bible right now to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we will join Pastor Robbie here in verse 15.
Morning, church. So good to see you. I pray that you are encouraged here today, again, being here as well. And for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be diving into a sermon series in the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy, some of you are like, Deuteronomy, eh? Interesting. Yes, yes, it is. It is. Our series title is called Listen and Love. And our tagline for this sermon series is Learning from the Last Words of Moses. So as we turn, we're going to be in Deuteronomy 4 today. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 4. You can turn there. That's obviously the fifth book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the fifth book in what is called the Pentateuch, the first five books of Scripture. Let's discover, again, this is, we're doing an introduction for this sermon series for a little bit here right now, which is appropriate and needed. Let's discover why I'm expectant for this series and why you should be expectant for this series as well. So a few kind of basic points of information to get started. The name Deuteronomy literally means second law. That is the title taken from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Sometimes this is misunderstood in terms of what Deuteronomy actually represents, because some believe that it means it's only a repeat of the law that was previously given, again, in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But Deuteronomy is much more than simply a repeat, again, of the law previously given. Another title that is commonly given for the book of Deuteronomy, again, by the Jewish people, is the Book of Remembrance. And that's a wonderful title as well, the Book of Remembrance, because that is so much of what is happening, again, in the Word of God, as God is reminding his people, again, through his servant Moses, of what is so massively important for their present and for their future as they learn and remember from what has been in the past. Some facts about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is quoted over 80 times in the New Testament, which means it belongs with three other Old Testament books quoted to the same degree. Those other books are Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah. So that's significant as we approach Deuteronomy in this series. Furthermore, when Jesus was tempted three times by Satan in the desert, each time Jesus chose to quote again from the Old Testament. And the part of the sword of the Spirit that Jesus chose to use as he was refuting Satan, each time he quoted the book of Deuteronomy. So this communicates to us, Jesus fully God, Jesus fully man, Jesus treasured the book of Deuteronomy, and therefore we should as well. So what is Deuteronomy? Well, Deuteronomy is essentially a farewell speech given by Moses to the people of Israel. Moses was 120 years old when he gave this very long speech, bless his heart. And what do we need to know about why Moses did this? Well, Moses was about to send the people into the promised land. He knew that they had to be prepared before they entered again this time. Moses knows he's not going with them. Moses was forbidden to enter the promised land for, again, events in the past, which where, again, he did something he should not have, displeased the Lord, and the Lord said, you will not go with the people. But Moses is urgently seeking to prepare the Israelites for what's ahead. In many ways, Deuteronomy is the older generation preparing the younger generation according to the truth. If you know, again, the history within the Pentateuch, then the previous generation also failed entirely. They were disobedient to the Lord and the consequences were severe. They were not allowed. That generation would die off. So you have this next generation now being prepared at the very end of Moses' life, and he's desperately longing for them to not make the same mistakes that the previous generation did. So the overall message in Deuteronomy is Moses imploring the people two main things. Listen to the Lord and love the Lord. He's like, people, listen to the Lord and love the Lord. That is really taken from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, which is called the Shema. This leads into the most important commandments ever given by God. And Moses says to the people, again, in the Shema, he says, hear, O Israel, listen. Hear a common refrain throughout Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, listen up, listen to the Lord. And then directly after that is love the Lord your God, thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. So listen to the Lord and love the Lord. Those two commands right there bring the life according to God's will, and that life will see the blessing of God as well. So as with many portions of Scripture, what we have is we have men of God in their last days, packed with urgency, packed with a deeply held burden for the true spiritual health of God's people. That's what's happening in Deuteronomy. And by the way, that's essential if you want to pick up the context and the heartbeat of Deuteronomy. That's what's going on. Moses is filled with urgency, and he's deeply burdened for the hearts of God's people. So as we come specifically to our text today, in chapters 1-3 of Deuteronomy, Moses has been rehearsing the history of the nation. Moses is reminding the people, listen, he's like, do not forget what the Lord has done. And Moses reminds the people of what God has done. He's, again, Scripture loves to remind us, and some of today will be that for us, which is so good and so needed. We need to be reminded. The people here in our text need to be reminded because they are sheep and sheep are dumb. Yes, thank you, church. Right, that is true. Sheep are dumb, and they need to be reminded over and over and over again. And we are sheep, and we at times also are. We are. It's okay to say that. It's okay. Don't be offended. We prove it every day of our lives, right? We need to be reminded because we're constantly wandering away from blessing, and we're constantly wandering towards that which will hurt us. And God knows that. So he loves us and reminds us of the truth. And that's what's happening today. And with the messages to come in this, again, Lord willing, the people had this incessant temptation to wander away from the things of the Lord. So as we come to chapter 4 then, Moses is very concerned the people would not lose their way. And again, he urgently exhorts them to beware, to take care, to watch. And this leads us to our first point then, which is this. Point number one, be ever watchful. Sin is always lurking. Be ever watchful. Sin is always lurking. So Deuteronomy 4, take a look at verse 15 now. Okay, we're going to read verses and then we're going to explain, illustrate, and apply. And then we'll read verses and do the same as we go along. Verse 15, chapter 4. Therefore, he says, watch yourselves. You should circle that, underline that, highlight that. Whatever you do with that, do something with that. Okay, very important. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. That's a great phrase to, again, to pop out when you read this chapter. Since you saw no form on that day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, beware, he says, beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water or in and under the earth. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven when you see the sun, moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, and you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven here. So I want you to notice the very first word in verse 15. The very first word is therefore. Whenever you see a therefore in scripture, you ask the question, what's it there for? Okay? Again, a simple little tip as you're studying scripture. And therefore always pulls us back to the immediately preceding verses that gives us more context. So the immediate verses before verse 15, Moses had just reminded the people of their awesome encounter with God at Mount Sinai. That was a huge deal for the people of God. That's what chapter 4, verses 10 and 12 are describing. Originally, this was recorded in Exodus chapter 19. I went back and read it this week and refreshed my mind, renew my mind on this. And this is where, again, you read about God, again, up on the mountain there, and you have thunder and lightning and darkness and smoke and fire and a trumpet increasing in this incredible volume. And this whole chapter, one word describes it. It's wow. The seriousness of God before his people as he is commanding them and leading them to paths of blessing. Now, why is Moses recalling this to the people? Well, two main reasons. Number one, the seriousness of God's commands. The seriousness of God's commands for his people. I mean, essentially in Deuteronomy and what's happening here, again, God's people are being told, listen, obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings discipline. Two choices, obedience, blessing, disobedience, curse. That's how Deuteronomy will end as well. So important for us to see the seriousness of God's commands. Secondly, Moses is bringing this up for the people too, is because it's the serious call for watchfulness among God's people. Moses is like, gotta watch. Watch yourselves very carefully. Be ready all the time. Be vigilant. Why? 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 Because sin is always lurking. And sin lurks to take our attention and our affection away from God and onto things which hurt us and destroy us. We heard that in baptism testimony even today. Amazing, amazing job. The two gentlemen there today and just their life before Christ and sin, it seeks to destroy and ruin and dismantle. And then Jesus Christ comes and we see the blessing and joy and life that is found. That's my story too. That's all of us saved in Jesus Christ. Sin is so deadly. So watch, watch, he says, watch people. Watch yourself very carefully. Verse 15, notice verse 15, watch yourselves very carefully. Look at verse 16, beware lest you act corruptly. Verse 19, again, beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven and worship creation as opposed to the creator of creation. Look back at verse 9 for a second. I want you to look at verse 9. Verse 9, only take care, keep, this is a good phrase, keep your soul diligently. So there's a very strong theme developing here. And that theme is watch yourselves. Do you know that watchfulness is actually a spiritual discipline? The spiritual discipline of watchfulness. This is a spiritual discipline I'm very passionate about. I think about it a lot. I read about it a lot. I write about it a lot. I teach on it a lot. Why? Because listen, it's a massive spiritual discipline and principle that is essential for the heart that is going to persevere in Jesus Christ. It is utterly essential for the leader or any Christ follower that wants to make it to the end. Every day we must watch our hearts. Every day we must distrust our own hearts, as we'll be here in a few moments in more detail. Listen, the unwashed heart is the at-risk heart. The unwashed heart is the heart that is in great danger. Are you watching your heart, like as we speak? Take a look what the Bible says about this principle of the spiritual discipline of watchfulness. Proverbs 4:23, one of my favorite verses, again in Proverbs. Listen, keep your heart, guard your heart with all vigilance, Guard your heart, whatever cost, with all vigilance. You watch it, you're ready for it, you're looking all the time with all vigilance, right? Why? For from it, the heart, flows the springs of life. Your heart determines death or life in your life. The state of your heart determines the state of your life. The heart kept for Christ, awesome. The heart gone to sin, destruction. The pure heart leads to life. The polluted heart leads to death. This is the story of the Israelites. The heart set on God, life. The heart set on sin and idols, death. Moses like, watch yourselves so carefully. You want life, not death. We're the same. A heart unwashed is a heart's polluted and a heart that's in tremendous danger to the consequences of sin. Here's another verse, 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul to Timothy, keep a close watch. Watch on yourself, Timothy. Keep a close watch on yourself and your teaching. Notice, persist in this. Look at the implications for this. Persist on keeping a close watch on yourself, on the teaching, on the doctrine, on the good deposit of the gospel. If you do this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Wow. The spiritual discipline of watchfulness for the leader and the church on its teaching and the purity and fidelity of the gospel is massive. We persist in this because you save yourself and all those listening as well. So we said here, watchfulness not only impacts the life of the leader, but also it impacts the life of the hearers. You always want to be praying for the church that's faithful to the gospel and that loves the word of God, because your health and my health depends on it. This is why churches, when they fall off and they wander away and they go onto the ways of the culture and sinful paths, and they self-destruct, and the church is empty and it has no Holy Spirit in it and no one gets saved, because they have moved from life to death. We must watch ourselves all the time. Watch ourselves. You pray for if you love this church, you pray for the leaders. You pray for the leaders that we may not stray, that we would stay so faithful and pure in the word of God, and we would love Jesus Christ, and whatever happens, again, at the end of the day, we are standing on the truth of God's word. I mean, if you care about your own heart in this, then you will pray for the church. You will pray that God will remain steadfast, and you pray for the next generation to stand up. And we have men and women who are also willing, again, to live with sacrifice and cost for the purity and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watchfulness is everything. There's another verse here, which is so important. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Here it is, be watchful. I love when watchful starts popping now. I mean, also Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. Watch and pray. Be sober-minded, be watchful, while your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Watchfulness is spiritual warfare then. You're not watchful, you're toast. The devil's, what is the single greatest defensive mechanism of an antelope on the African savannah? It's watchfulness. I love nature shows. Anyone else love nature shows? Anyone else? Me and four, okay, a little more. 12 of us, great, that's awesome. I love nature shows, especially the African savannah nature shows. And again, I mean, I'm cheering for the cheetah, I have to admit, okay? I just think that's so awesome. Anyways, but the antelope, whatever it is, their single, again, greatest defense, they're always alert. If they ever drop their guard, it's like their life is at stake. That's why Peter uses this verse here. Be sober-minded, be watchful. You're caught because, why, the devil's prowling around like a roaring lion, and he wants to come up and pat you on the back, and he wants to devour you. So this is why, again, all of this truth is watch, watch, watch. The spiritual discipline of watchfulness is everything. You feel that? I feel that. Moses feels that. Moses has seen the evils of sin constantly lurking at the door of the hearts of God's people. Sin is constantly trying to get in whatever way it can. And so Moses urgently desires the people to be watchful. And listen to this here. This is important. And he wants them to not trust their own hearts. That's a very, in some ways, it feels a little counterintuitive. Like, oh, really, really? But it's true. One of the ways you know you're maturing in Jesus Christ is you're continually suspicious of your own heart. Those who are mature in Jesus Christ, you understand, Jeremiah says, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So again, when we grow in Christ, you wake up in the day and you don't assume, oh, I'm good, everything's going to be fine. No, your watchfulness is, I don't ultimately trust, again, the inclinations of my own heart, because my heart and its sinful nature loves to go towards sin. The flesh loves to go towards sin. And the Spirit of God within us is constantly moving us towards Christ. Now listen, if you, a sign of tremendous immaturity in your life for Christ, if you constantly look to blame others for everything in your life, you are not in a good spot. If your pattern, and just be, by the way, just be honest with yourself right now, all right? Like, just be honest between you and God. If your pattern is to blame other people for whatever's happened in your life and you constantly want to just, that's what Eve did, that's what Adam did. Everyone's just, sin wants to blame other people. It's their fault. It's because of this. When you mature in Christ, you don't blame others. You first put your own heart on the table and say, where do I need to grow, repent, and change? That's what maturity does. This is what Moses is asking again from the people. You wake up in the day and you're expecting the heart to wander, and you watch so vigilantly and carefully again where you're at. How about certain sins that just constantly lurk, seeking to destroy? How about the sin of lust that perpetually lurks at your heart? The sin of lust on a daily basis, longing to gain access to your heart. Why? To destroy your heart. Longing to gain access into the temple of the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says. Trying to get into the temple, to pollute the temple, to ruin again our hearts and to ruin our lives. Men, women, as much as ever, the prevalence of such sin every day, you got to be so watchful. If you don't think I need to be watchful of such sins, then you're clueless. I mean, obviously, it's so utterly important every day to be so vigilant in the smallest of details. That sobers me greatly. The fear of God overwhelms me at times. A culture we live in, and to say, man, we got to be watching. How about the sin of bitterness? The sin of bitterness constantly pacing around the edges of our heart, looking for entry points, looking for weaknesses, looking for access points, trying to get into the heart. Why? Because bitterness comes in and it gets into the heart, and then it starts to infect us with its poison. We've got to be so watchful, right? You know, their bitterness, there's something we're like, well, it's their fault, her fault, his fault, always someone else's fault. And what bitterness does, we have to admit to ourselves, the person who loses the most with the sin of bitterness is ourselves. But bitterness is the, or resentment is the one sin we feel so justified in because maybe we've been hurt and therefore want to hurt others because, again, it feels right to inflict that pain on someone else. But all the while, we are the ones being destroyed the most. Watchful, watchful, watchful. How about the sin of greed? The sin of greed constantly lying to us about its intentions. You deserve, you need, you must have. And all the while, the more we fill our lives with the sin of greed, the more our affections are being stolen away from Christ and his kingdom. Watchful, watchful. Where is it creeping in right now? Like, it's not if, it's where. It's how. How about the sin of idolatry? That's a, you know, pretty generic term. What is idolatry? It's right in our context here. Idolatry is anything or person that we love more than God. Anything or person that we love more than God. Parents, your kids. They're great. They're not God. Anything or person we love more than God is an idol. It's idolatry. Watchfulness. Watching carefully, suspicious of our own hearts. We must watch ourselves so carefully. Robert Murray McShane, love this guy. Wow, he wrote this, what, 400 years ago? How diligently the cavalry officer keeps his saber clean and sharp. Every stain he rubs off with the greatest of care. His application to that? Remember, you are God's sword. You are God's instrument. See, like, well, it's a small sin. Oh no, that sin's going to grow. Well, it's not that big a deal. Are you sure about that? I think it's a big deal to the Lord. Well, you know, I'm just going to do it for a while. It'll be okay in the end. Are you sure? I don't think so. Be ever watchful. Sin is lurking. This is what Moses is saying to God's people. He cares for me. He's seen the devastations, okay? Israel, then, our hearts right now, be ever watchful. Again, let me just say this one more time. The spiritual discipline of watchfulness is utterly essential and massive for your well-being in Christ and to make it to the end. This is something that I have to take incredibly seriously, and so do you. Like, if you've never heard about this, you've never thought about this, you need to double down on this starting today. Like, somehow getting these verses on your heart on a daily basis, a weekly basis, to remind yourselves of what is true, okay? Okay? Hey, loved ones, I wanna finish well. I wanna make it to the end. I wanna hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not without the spiritual discipline of watchfulness, no chance. I'm so burdened. I want you to be so burdened about this too. Moses was so burdened about this. Awesome. Point number two is this: be very careful. Be very careful. Do not forget the grace of God ever. Be very careful. Do not forget the grace of God ever. Look at verse 20 now. Verse 20. Moses says, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace. What a great term. Out of Egypt to be a people of his own inheritance as you are this day. And that verse should be underlined. Mine's highlighted. Got a few red asterisks beside it. That encourages me. Verse 21. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you. And he swore that I should not cross the Jordan, that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan, but you shall go over and take possession of that good land. Verse 23, take care. Here we go. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and you make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. Verse 24, so good. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. Listen, a jealous God. We'll get to that in a couple seconds. The key phrase here from Moses to the people is in verse 23. Take care, do not forget, do not forget. Be very careful, but do not forget what? Take a look at the text there. Do not forget what? Well, how about this? We must be very, very careful to never forget God's deliverance.
Hey, Live in the Light listeners, so appreciate you. Robbie Simons here. Hey, listen, Giving Tuesday is coming up on December 2nd. And of course, Giving Tuesday is a day where we are desirous to be generous towards, again, ministries that God has particularly used within our lives, seeking to make an eternal impact. Hey, if that's where you are right now and the Lord is leading you to be generous again to this ministry here at Live in the Light, if you've been encouraged in your walk with God, would you consider supporting us? We would love that, obviously. Again, we can only be on this station through your generous support. We have an option becoming a power partner, $30 a month, joining with us to see again the message of the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ through the power of his word go out and transform lives. You know it, I know it. Our day needs this so, so much. So if you want to do this, if you're being led even right now and you've been thinking about it and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, all the information is at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Thank you for your support and for your future support. We are so very grateful for you.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah. I wanna be in the light as you are.